Call be dispensed with and Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Timothy Soss from the 12 Holy Apostles Greek Orthodox Church in Duluth. I was going to say South St. Paul. He did preach at the Romanian church in South St. Paul for a few years, and I got to know him back then. So, welcome.
Thank you. Almighty God, we give thanks for the blessings that you have bestowed on all your people in your loving kindness. We give thanks especially for all the wonderful people and places of the state of Minnesota, which we call our home. Grant, O Lord, that all the great accomplishments of Minnesota's past be the seed of yet more wonderful progress and prosperity. May we grow in wisdom to continue as good stewards of the abundance you have bestowed on us for the welfare of all the people in our state and beyond. May your love for togetherness and cooperation be firmly planted in our hearts at all times. Bless, O Lord, all those who diligently serve in public office and the members of our armed forces. On this day, I pray that you bestow your blessings of health, peace, joy, strength, and love to all the members of the Senate of our great state who work tirelessly for the well-being of Minnesota and its residents. Grant them and their families all the wonderful blessings that come from you. And, O God, so that through their good deeds we may live peaceful and serene lives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good to see you
again.
Thank
you.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubley, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogamiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger.
Quorum is present. The next order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith returned. Senate files 2468, 2980, 3158, 3323, and 2533. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 3 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate files. On 3360, a bill for an act relating to animals prohibiting the possession of certain items related to animal fighting, there has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Mullery, Lilly, and Coles. And on Senate File 2795, a bill for an act relating to real property, providing for conveyance of interests in real property by transfer on death deeds, there has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Thiessen, Mullery, and Smith. These Senate files are herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the conference committees on the following Senate files and repassed said bills in accordance with the report of the committees so adopted. Senate File 2942, a bill for an act relating to higher education, establishing a P20 education partnership. Senate File 3337, a bill for an act relating to energy, creating coordinated process for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And Senate File 3683, a bill for an act relating to the operation of state government, changing certain provisions and programs related to agriculture. And Senate File 3441, a bill for an act relating to courts, limiting testimony of domestic abuse advocates without consent of victims. And Senate File 651, a bill for an act relating to the environment, restricting the manufacture and sale of certain polybrominated diphenyl ethers. These Senate files are herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted, House File 1724, signed Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Okay, the next order of business is first reading of House bills. There's one today printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of House bills, and it will be referred to the committee as indicated. First reading. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Poger.
Mr. President, I move
and, there's one to be read at the desk. Senator.
I move that the report. Oh.
Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was referred Senate File 3835, a bill for an act relating to health care, proposing an amendment to the Minnesota Constitution, Article 11, dedicating the proceeds of the health care provider tax to Minnesota care and health care access. Reports the same back with recommendation that the bill do pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
And now, Senator Porgemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee report printed in the agenda and the one just read be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next order of business, second reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of House bills. The next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a few authors' motions. Without objection, we'll take those as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There's three resolutions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, the resolutions will be referred to the Rules Committee. Is it a resolution? Yeah. Resolution be read at the desk.
Senators Pogemiller and Sendrum introduce Senate Resolution 204, a Senate resolution honoring Patrick E. Flavin, Secretary of the Senate.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senate Resolution 204 is a resolution honoring our Secretary of the Senate, Mr. Flavin. That will be presented at our dinner this evening. Would recommend members' support.
Okay. Okay, on the motion to adopt. Did you want to we don't even need a motion? Okay. On the motion to adopt a resolution, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Without objection, on Senate bill introductions, there's one on today's agenda. Without objection, introduction and first reading of Senate bills.
Do you want to go to the calendar or something?
Okay. Okay, we've got... you want to go to general orders, Mr.
Mr. President, Fogler? Why don't we do the calendar?
Okay, do you have to weigh the lyovers?
And I wonder if Senator Senjum, could we waive the lyovers on the calendar?
Senator Senjum, Senator Pogramiller was asking you a question.
Waive the lyovers on the calendar? Mr. President?
Senator Pogramiller.
Remain on the order of business of motions, resolutions. I move we take up the Senate calendar.
Okay, on the motion to take up the Senate calendar, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed.
Aye.
Motion prevails.
Mr. President?
Senator Pogramiller.
I move that we waive the lyovers for items 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, on that motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The first one on the calendar is out for comparison, so we'll go to number 2 on the Senate calendar, which is House File 3367. This is a Senator Betzel bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 3367, a bill for enacting the data practices, modifying provisions of the open meeting law, etc.
Secretary will take the roll on the bill. Thanks. Yeah, be careful. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed, it's title agreed to. The next bill on the Senate calendar is House File number 3585. This is a Senator Kubley bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 3585, a bill for an act relating to energy, authorizing certain governments to engage in energy-related activities, including ownership of renewable energy projects, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. Tom Bach, tell him that his bill's up next. Tom. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 53 ayes, 10 nays, the bill is passed, its title agreed to. The fourth bill on the calendar, House File 3574, this is a Senator Bach bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 3574, a bill for an act relating to the State Building Code, regulating the application and enforcement of the State Building Code, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes, 5 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, under motions and resolutions, why don't we take up Senator Scogin's omnibus liquor bill, Senate File 3672.
Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 3672 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay, Senator Scogin, a description of the bill and what changes were made in the conference committee.
There were 3 provisions in this bill, members, that were not heard in the Senate. So we had a good working group. Senator Scheid was willing to have an informational hearing in Commerce so that we got a chance to kind of talk about some of the provisions that we were going to see in this conference committee. And very quickly, Section 1 in the conference committee report deals with something called a pedal pub. And this provision will allow the operation of for commercial purposes, similar to a bicycle. For those who haven't seen it, we have opened up the door for them to serve liquor on the pedal pub as they move about the city. In Section 2 and 3, you'll see some information on farm wineries. Section 2 is a fine winery provision that allows distilled spirits that are manufactured to be sampled on the premises, although they still must be sold through a wholesaler. And Section 3, of course, allows them to manufacture the distilled spirits. And they must limit their production to 5,000 gallons and must pay for the additional annual fee to the commissioner of $500 as well. Section 4 brings the state fairgrounds into compliance on serving strong beer. Section 5 was a special license for a facility that was close to a couple of churches in Minneapolis over on Willow Street South. And then Section 6 was the 4 a.m. closing during the Republican National Convention. This is a license that gives the licensing jurisdictions that lie within the 7-county metro area discretion to issue special permits during the Republican National Convention that would extend their hours to at least 4 a.m. It sets some parameters on when that would be, Sunday, August 31st through Friday, the 5th of September. And the conference committee got their work done in a short afternoon. I want to thank Senator Johnson and Senator Scheid for helping me put this together, and especially Senator Scheid, who carried a lot of water for us in the conference committee.
Senator Corey.
Mr. President, would Senator Scogin yield for a question?
He will yield. Senator Corey.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Scogin. I'm wondering, you know, I used to own a liquor store, and I was wondering this pedal pub. I know sometimes when things kind of grind to a halt here in the Senate and in the House, I'm wondering if that would be a tool that we might move things along.
There is an occasion, Senator Coring, when it would move things along. But you should know that it also comes at a cost of $150 an hour.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, thank you. I just wanted to clarify something about the pedal pub, and that is that even though what we did was exempted from the open bottle law, as limousines and buses currently are, but cities will still be able to regulate where they may go and when. So I just want to have everybody understand that is certainly expected that will happen.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I understand there is some real serious concerns about this 4 a.m. closing during the Republican convention. And I just wanted to know if Senator Scogin would yield.
He will yield.
Senator Scogin, do you have a provision in there that the Republicans are allowed to stay out till 4 a.m. only if they agree to abstain until marriage?
Did you agree to answer, Paul? Senator Scogin.
Mr. President, I will not yield.
Mr. President, will Senator Scogin yield to another question? I'm going to ask it even if he won't, so he might as well yield.
It all depends what the question is.
Mr. President, I understand that there was a provision, however, that the 4 a.m. closing hour could be extended until 6 a.m. if it was in a sanctuary city. So did that get adopted?
Scogin.
Mr. President and Senator Pappas, no, but thanks for asking. I appreciate that. Actually, the 4 a.m. Closing is for everyone.
Senator Sanjum.
Mr. President, Senator Scogin, is 4 a.m. late enough for good Republicans? Seems a little early.
They don't stay up that late. Any further discussion on Senator Scogin renews his motion that conference committee report on Senate File 3672 be now adopted. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 3672, a bill for an act relating to liquor, permitting farm wineries to manufacture and sell distilled spirits under certain conditions, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 42 ayes, 20 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Senator Dahl. Mr. President, how about Senator Dahl, Senate File 3775?
President recognizes Senator Dahl on Senate File 3775. Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations of the Conference Committee report on Senate File 3775 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
Okay. Senator Dahl, a brief description of the bill and what's changed since it's left the Senate.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll try to keep it brief. We passed this bill a few weeks back, members, by a 63-1 vote, and the House saw fit to amend it in a couple of locations. We did go through this process, and we had bipartisan support and a lot of input from all members of the conference committee. I do want to thank those members, Senator Frederickson, Senator Higgins, as well as on the House side, Representative Simon and Representative Osmond, and the House author, Representative Saylor. It was not only an enjoyable experience, but a very productive conference committee. And I believe that what we have here is a tighter package that everyone can support. What's in this bill, members, is it's the 3775 is the paint stewardship pilot project, and I believe that pretty much most of us, the members here, I think, do support the idea and the practice of stewardship, whether it be of our environment or our communities or of the products that we use. What this does is it establishes a pilot project in Minnesota for us to take in post-consumer paint, architectural paint, anything that you would use on walls or in your homes or in buildings, and it's disposal or recycling. Currently, we have a taxpayer-supported system. We're moving this to include those costs of recycling and taking that post-consumer paint in and moving it into the true life cycle cost of that product. This legislation will be a model for the nation. It enjoys strong support from paint manufacturers, distributors, retailers, environmental and consumer advocates, as well as the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. About 2 years' worth of conversations have gone into developing this, the network and the language that we have before us. The role that we provide here is protection for both the industry and the consumers. The industry side has enabling language in regarding antitrust language, and for the consumer, we've set parameters on this pilot project so that the industry has the ability to recover but not exceed the costs of implementing the program. We also include a report that will be delivered both in after year one of this project and at the end of the project that will detail, do an independent audit of the costs and the funding mechanisms. It will provide an evaluation of the feasibility of using some of the post-consumer paint for donation to charitable organizations and to schools, as well as possible rebates and exemptions of the assessment for those same educational facilities, and look at how those costs, how they're doing in the counties, how well the program is actually working, and then provide us with some recommendations on how to move forward. There is a sunset on this of June 30th, 2010. It is a very good program, members. I believe it's some kind of program that everyone can support. I do ask for your green vote today. Mr. Chair, I'll stand for questions.
Further discussion on Senate File 3775. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dahl, I'm just wondering if you could explain how... I understand now that my county has a program like this already in place, that people can bring their cans of paint in for free. They don't get charged anything. There's a reuse and recycling room that the good paint goes into. Other people can come in and for free pick up the paint. And this is funded partly through the fees that were given for recycling purposes when we added the sales tax to garbage collection. And so I'm wondering about the need for this. It's my understanding that a number of other counties also do this. And so I don't know if this is really something that is needed or if it has already been taken care of. And I just would like you to address that.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Roebling, the program, as I understand it, is most of it's taxpayer supported. Now, maybe in your county there's some exceptions in how they collect those fees if they need to do providing for more service. But most of the county collections, either on a county level or there's some grants from the state to pay for these programs. And what we're moving is to a user-based, basically, fee so that when it's part of that life cycle cost of the product itself, that we can't put this into a landfill. Some of it is considered hazardous, not all of it, but it's still we don't allow for paint to be put into the landfill, plus the containers themselves. So what we want to do is move this away from any taxpayer funding of these programs and put it into the life cycle cost so it's paid for by the industry.
Senator Roebling.
Well, Mr. President and Senator Dahl, then if we are currently collecting taxes to do this, we should probably have a provision included with this that would discontinue that or reduce the tax on garbage collection so that we wouldn't have a double tax for the same thing. Because I do have some concerns that we already have that. The grants that come from the state to the counties are basically from the sales tax for garbage collection. And so I don't disagree with what you're doing, but then I would think that there would be tax relief in another area if we put it on as a user fee.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Roebling, I agree with what you're saying. But this is a pilot project, so we're going to have a transition period. We assume that this program is going to work, and all the advocates believe that they make this work successfully. And the way it's been designed, I believe it will as well. And the idea is that it would all be taken off of the taxpayer role for supporting this. Then that would be the next step in this. But it may be that the program, the possibility, does not work. Recommendations come back and say this isn't working as well as we intended it, and the program does sunset in 2 years. So at that point, we would continue the existing program. if at that point we continue with this program goes forward, then we would have to make those adjustments either on the county or state level on those particular taxes and how they, you know. But what we're doing is the program still is going to be involved as far as the counties collecting this paint. It's just that the industry itself will pay for it. How those counties then use those tax dollars, or if they want to, reduce those taxes for that service, that would be something that they could do at that time.
Mr. President.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. President, and another partial answer to Senator Roebling's question is the SCORE tax does much more than just collect paint. In fact, I would suggest that the paint part of the expenditure from SCORE is very, very small, and I suspect there are many counties that do not take paint back under a recycling program. And I direct your attention to the last line of Section 3. Part of that report is to include an analysis of the potential costs avoided by state and local governments as a result of this program. If the manufacturers can do this and take the burden off counties, I think it would be a benefit to the counties if it could be done that way, and the manufacturers could provide a reuse for that paint and take it out of our waste stream. This is a very interesting conference committee to be on. Senator Dahl did a very good job of chairing that committee, and I learned a little bit about anti-competitive law and constitution. The most essential part of this conference committee, of the bill, is Section 1, the purpose, and it's to allow plant manufacturers to develop and implement a program. And we discussed taking that out because generally we don't like purpose programs, but we're assured that that is something a court might look at in determining that this meets the requirements of not being anti-competitive behavior. And the second very interesting part of this conference committee is Section 2, where it says conduct authorized, and it allows the manufacturers to do this program for collecting unused paint and return paint, and that if they do just that, this is not anti-competitive behavior, which it would be if it were not for this bill. So what this really does is allow the manufacturers to have this pilot program for handling returned and reused paint.
Further discussion on Senator Senjum.
Would Senator Dahl yield just for a question?
We yield, Senator Senjum.
I think I'm still trying to understand this, and I'm looking at the county website here that Senator Lynch and I are represent, and it seems like while this one may be directed at paint and maybe even solve some paint issues, at least our own takes care of drain cleaners, toilet bowl cleaners, photographic chemicals, polishes of all sorts, oven cleaners, pool cleaners, adhesive solvents, and pesticides. Would those programs be affected negatively in any way if the paint was sort of taken out of the existing program as we know it in these situations where everything is intact and working? Is this a positive or a negative to an ongoing and effective program? That's my question.
Senator Dahl.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum, this program, those things will still go on. They're not going to be discontinued. What basically we're doing is the methods that are going to be, how we're going to pay for it, are going to change. The industry is going to pay for it instead of taxpayer dollars paying for that part of it, for the paint recovery and recycling. And paint is still the largest particular recyclable and item that these county facilities take in. And then we also want to be able to capture more of them. So we see that the industry itself will probably be collection points, or, you know, as far as retailers, some of those big box retailers will use that as a way to bring people back into the stores. But the final destination will still be these county facilities for that leftover paint.
Okay, further discussion on Senate File 3775. Seeing none, Senator Dahl renews his motion that conference committee report on Senate File 3775 be now adopted. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 3775, a bill for an act relating to solid waste, establishing a pilot program to collect and process used paint, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 48 ayes, 17 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Anderson, are you ready with your conference committee report? Senator Torres Ray, are you ready? Okay. The next conference committee report at the desk will be discussing will be Senate File 3166, Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 3166 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed and amended by the conference committee.
Okay, Senator Torres Ray, a description of the bill and what amendments were acted on in the conference committee.
Thank you, Mr. President. The amendments were very minor. We had a House version that adopted language requiring the court to make a finding in regard to whether or not children or their families have been notified in writing of the availability of foster care benefits up to the age of 21. The House passed that language, but we found out that that language is already in rules.
Okay. What?
I'm sorry, but my
For this
microphone
Senate's benefit, what's the bill again? What does the bill do? You explain the amendment, but they want to.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I'm going to change microphones.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, what the bill did was basically we agreed to delete that language because that language already exists in rules. So we deleted that language. The other part that we changed was that the House had a request for the Commissioner of the Department of Human Services to consider a set-aside to a permanent disqualification for an extraordinary case. And the department said that they will consider that because that's part of their process anyway. And so we agreed to adopt the House language to review this particular case. And Okay. Those are the only two changes that we incorporated into this conference committee.
Okay, discussion, Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senator Torres Ray has worked hard on this bill, and I served on the conference committee, and I signed the conference committee report. Some things, however, have come to light since that period of time that are problems with the permanent bar disqualifications, and that there may well be some language that's very workable for all the parties involved so that we can take this bill and bring it back to the conference committee for a short time. and get the language fixed up so that this particular bill can just simply be signed into law and do the good things that it was intended to do. And so, Mr. President, I apologize, Senator Torres-Ray, for taking you by surprise. That was not my intention. But, Mr. President, I would like to move that the recommendations of the Conference Committee report on Senate File 3166 be rejected and that the bill be re-referred to the Conference Committee as formally constituted for further consideration. Thank you.
Okay, that motion is in order. Senator Torres-Ray.
Mr. President, I understand why Senator Wergen is moving this recommendation. What happened, members, is that this particular bill was a bill that passed by 67 votes. It was really not a controversial bill whatsoever. It only had child welfare provisions. In the House and also in the Senate, we had a report that came before the Judiciary Committee adopting the recommendations that were put together by the Sentencing Guidelines Commission. This was a group that basically created all of these recommendations for set-aside provisions, and these two recommendations were approved and supported in both houses. So both the child welfare provisions that were moving in my bill, as well as the provisions for the set-aside that moved in judiciary were supported in both houses, but they were part of different of separate bills. Now they are together. And once they came together, apparently we had some differences of opinion and some staff members related to us that they were in disagreement and there was some controversial language. We have not really received a good argument as to why these particular provisions are not acceptable to the governor. We have tried to accommodate the concerns, and we have gone back and forward proposing some different language, but it has not been accepted. And I want to remind the members that the recommendations that move forward in separate bills, in judiciary as well as child welfare, were supported in both houses with overwhelming support. And what now is happening is that they came together in my bill, in this bill that I'm moving forward, and I would like to ask members to review these particular provisions, and you will find out that there is really, you already made this decision, you approved this with overwhelming support. And if you have more questions about the recommendations that came forward from the Judiciary Committee, I would like to yield to Senator Mee Moore if you have more questions related to those provisions.
Okay, Senator Murphy, did you wish to?
Thank you, Mr. President. And members, I rise in support of Senator Torres-Ray and against the Wergen motion. The provision that Senator Wergen is talking about is a provision that was worked out with just about everybody that was involved. As a matter of fact, when we started off, it was the department's language that we were working on, Senator Wergen. I know this because this arises out of a constituent concern in my neck of the woods by a person who has not only been a recovering drug and alcohol abuser, but he has also worked in the rehabilitation field for over 30 years. He's remained clean and sober. He's been a stellar member of the community, but because of some laws that we passed recently, this person has to go back and every year get waivers. Now, we don't need to waiver somebody because of something they did when they were 18 years old and they've got 30 years of good community service, pillars of the community. You know, that's all we're trying to do here. Members, we voted on this once before, and there was no dissension. I don't know why at this time there would be dissension.
Okay, Senator Corrine. We're discussing, Senator Wergen wants to reject the Conference Committee report. Okay, all in.
No, Mr. President.
Okay, we're going to vote on Senator Corey, did you wish to speak?
Well, I was just going to, Mr. President, I was just going to make a point that, and I actually had a question for Senator Ress, because I noticed that the adoption birth records access modification is in there too, and I was just wondering if the governor had weighed in and said that he didn't wasn't liking that, and I was wondering if he made a decision yet on that. So I'm just trying to help you so that if that's in there, I'd hate to see your whole bill be vetoed.
Okay. Senator Torres-Ray.
Senator Coring, part of what it's been very difficult for me is to really try to figure out what will be the language that we could adopt that is really in line with the recommendations with the commission, because this is really not a decision that I made or any members made here. These recommendations about set-asides are really recommendations that came from a commission, and those particular recommendations were recommendations that we asked for. So this language is just reflecting a report that many attorneys, judges, many people in judiciary worked on, and that's the reason it's been very difficult for me to go back, because I will have to bring it back, have different hearings, try to figure out the process all over again, and I think judiciary already went through that.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and members, I rise to support the Worgen Amendment, or the motion, because this is not about whether the set-aside language in this bill is something that we have supported in the past. It's not about whether this set-aside language in this bill is a good idea. I have worked on trying to change the set-aside law in past years myself. It's about whether Senator Torres-Ray is going to have her bill signed by the governor or not.
Let me look at it, yeah.
Now, this is an important bill that brings us into federal compliance with child welfare laws. It is not fair to her or the work she's done on her bill to have her bill sacrificed in this way. I believe that if people want a set-aside bill to go to the governor, then they should send him that as a separate measure. And so I rise to support this motion.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I was off the floor, so I just wanted to understand something. I'm looking at the conference committee report, and I see that Senator Worgen has signed the conference committee report. And, Mr. President,
Senator,
I understand Pogermiller, that Senator Worgen has made a motion to send it back to conference. And I am wondering, as a courtesy, if Senator Worgen had actually mentioned that to Senator Torres-Ray or the other conferees before she made the motion.
Well, Senator Worgen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogermiller, when I stood up, that's exactly what I started out with, is that I had signed the conference committee report, and I do support the work that Senator Torres-Ray is trying to do. And she did work in conference committee, too, to even come to an amenable solution. But then I indicated that since that point in time, I have found that I believe there is a way to fix this bill so that it can simply be signed, and we can do the federal compliance with the child welfare portions, and we can also end up with a win-win solution on the portion that we're talking about just now. And so that's why basically what I'm doing, Senator Pogermiller, is offering to help Senator Torres-Ray to get a bill that will simply be signed into law.
Mr. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, Senator Worgen and members, this is a relatively small body. We've been on the floor for over an hour. Senator Worgen, with all due respect, I think you might have walked over to Senator Torres-Ray and said that you now, after having signed the conference committee report, had some concerns and perhaps work with her with regards to that. I think it, you know, just as a matter of courtesy among ourselves, I think it's very difficult for an author. Well, I think I've made my point.
Senator Worgen.
Mr. President, Senator Pogermiller, your point is very well taken. You are correct. This came up at the last moment, and I probably could have handled it better. I will always admit that I never do everything right, and I never do everything in the perfect order. But when I'm trying to find a solution and do something that ends up with a good result, I'm willing sometimes to step out of those boundaries to try and do what's right. Thank you.
All right. We're on the Worgen motion to not adopt, reject the conference committee report.
Mr. President, I would like to set aside Senate File 3166 so that I can have this conversation, lay it on the table, and come back to it later.
Motion to lay the bill on the table. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, remaining on the order of motions, business of motions and resolutions, I move the Senate take up the general orders calendar.
Okay, on that motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move the Senate to now resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, members, on your desk is a list of four bills, number 44 on general orders, number 25, number 36, and number 24. And I think we're going to move number 44 to the bottom, or are you ready now, Senator Lurie? You're ready? Mr. President, you could take them in this order then. So I'd yield to Senator Lurie.
Okay, the first bill we're going to be discussing on general orders, number 44 on general orders, as House File 3955, Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, House File 3955 be recommended to pass.
Discussion on the bill, Senator Lurie.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair and members. This is a long-term care community consortium demonstration project for localities around the state. I've been working on this with the long-term care industry and with the Department of Human Services, and have a package here that should help us try to find better ways to provide the continuum of care needed for long-term care services in regional areas around the state. It is for three demonstration projects. I think that we all realize that the status of our nursing homes is very difficult, and our entire long-term care service industry is struggling. We have gone largely to home and community-based services with a large commitment to that, and that is by and large a good thing, but we have built silos of care around the state and don't always have the very best coordination between these silos of care. And we need to look to our communities and engage a broader community dialogue about the best way to ensure that we provide the right service in the right setting at the right time to help our older adults. And these community consortium demonstration projects are intended to allow this type of development. The stakeholders in a given region or community would collaborate to develop new community service-based services needed in the region, to eliminate duplicative services if they exist, and improve outcomes for seniors served across the entire continuum of long-term care services. These could be measured by enhanced capacity for aging in place, decreasing admissions to emergency rooms, sustaining family caregiving, which is a very critical piece, increasing affordable housing units, and making overall progress towards rebalancing the utilization of Medicaid dollars in a region or community, and of course, improving customer satisfaction. The funding for this is by taking 10% of three existing funding programs set aside for helping the long-term care industry. It would be 10% of the whatever we set aside for moratorium exception process, 10% of the monies that we already allocate for performance-based incentive payments, and 10% of the funding set aside for community service and community service development grants to local communities. So these are all funds that are set aside for long-term care development, and we believe that it would be better utilized small portions of this to encourage communities to have that broader dialogue that can help us determine find a better way to provide long-term care services. There's some existing programs like this. Senator Day brought to us a program in Steele County that is very similar to the type of community dialogue that we're trying to encourage with this. I do have one amendment, the A50 amendment, I would like to offer to bring the bill into a form that the House should be able to accept so that we don't have to conference. So I'd move the A50 amendment.
The Secretary will report the A50 amendment.
Senator Lowry moves to amend House File 3955 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate May 7th as follows. Page 2 after line 33, insert. This is amendment A50.
Senator Lowry on the A50 amendment.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. This would allow the Commissioner of Health to waive rules in order to allow and encourage these development projects to work in a good way, and would also help us to learn exactly what rules might be getting in the way of communities trying to do a better job, and that this will be also part of the report that the commissioners will send back to the legislator talking about how well these demonstration projects work, and again help us to try to find a better way to work towards making sure that our older adults have the appropriate care throughout the aging process. So I would move the A50 amendment and appreciate member support.
Any further discussion on the A50 amendment? Hearing none, all in favor of the A50 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? A motion is adopted. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Latz.
I'd like to offer the A51 amendment.
The Secretary will report the A51 amendment.
Senator Latz moves to amend House File 3955 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate May 7th as follows. Page 1 after line 6, insert. This is amendment A51.
Senator Latz on the A51 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. The Bridge Survivors Compensation Conference Committee had two loose ends that we were not able to wrap up in our final conference committee report, and we reserved those issues so we could get them properly addressed. This amendment addresses those two loose ends. Senator Lowry has been gracious enough to agree to accept them onto his bill. And they would do two things. The first provision would provide that persons who receive compensation through the Bridge Compensation Fund would not be declared ineligible for certain health care and maintenance programs under certain chapters in state law because of the infusion of the compensation assets into their family. It's with particular attention to the kids that were on the bus, and they may receive some compensation through the ordinary claims compensation process even while their families remain on public assistance. The Department of Human Services and the Governor's Office have reviewed these and support them as well. The second section is some technical clarification with regard to whether or not insurance companies will continue to have an obligation to pay health care costs even after compensation is made through the compensation process for those same future costs. What we have done, there were two conflicting provisions that turned out in our main bill, which would have led to double recovery on the part of the survivors. Basically, they would have been paid by their insurance companies and paid by the compensation process for the same loss. And Section 2 of this amendment would provide that the insurance coverage for those losses would not have to pay when those losses were paid for out of the compensation fund instead. We ask for your support, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Any further discussion on
Mr.
the A-51? Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Chairman.
Chairman, sorry. And members, Senator Lance is correct. The last day, actually, that the conference committee met, there were some things that we were trying to iron out. We wanted to get the bill completed. We'd already announced we'd reached an agreement, which we had in principle, but there were some things that came to light, and we simply ran out of time to deal with the technical issues to get those resolved in time to get into the Bridge Survivor bill, which, by the way, was signed this morning by Governor Pawlenty. And so these provisions are things that the conference committee identified. We all agreed that these were things that need to be done. And so I just would urge your support of the amendment.
Any further discussion? Senator Laurie.
Mr. Chair, I am, just for the record, very happy to help carry these important provisions to help with the Bridge Compensation Fund.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of the A51 amendment signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the amendment is adopted. Any further discussion on House File 3955? Hearing no further discussion, Senator Laurie has moved that when this committee do arise, that House File 3955 be recommended to pass. All those, as amended, all those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Next on general orders is number 25, Senate File 3281, Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3281 be recommended to pass.
Senator Erickson Ropes on Senate File 3281.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This legislation is a bipartisan effort here and will create the Veterans Healthcare Advisory Council. And it rises out of some of the recommendations from the Governor's Long-Term Care Task Force for Veterans that met over the interim this last year. And we decided we need to put together a council to advise the Department of Veterans Affairs on advice and recommendations for dealing with long-term care issues for veterans. The legislation outlines how to assemble the advisory committee and the goals and some of the tasks that they're to perform. And this legislation has been non-controversial to this point, so I would ask for the vote of every single member on the floor. Thank you.
Any further discussion on Senate File 3281? Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, Senator Erickson Ropes has moved that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 3281 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Next bill on general orders is number 36, House File 3420. Senator Mimua.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, House File 3420 be recommended to pass.
Senator Mua.
Members, this legislation clarifies recording fees charged by county registrars of title for registering supplemental declarations of common interest properties. It was brought to us by the Real Estate Section of the Bar Association as well as the County Recorders Association to just as a technical corrections to keep the fees consistent between counties. This bill does not create any new fees. I would appreciate your support.
Discussion, Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the A50 amendment.
The Secretary will report the A50 amendment.
Senator Scheid moves to amend House File 3420 as follows. Page 1, after line 6, insert. This is the Scheid A50 amendment.
Oh, I have it in here.
Senator Scheid on the A50 amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I have it here. I have it. There, thank you. Just need to give over the copies here. Thank you. This amendment is actually the language of Senate File 2912, which this body passed 59-1, I think, about a month ago. Briefly, it deals with mortgage foreclosures. It was the product of the working group made up of the housing advocates, attorneys who work in foreclosure, bankers, realtors, and bipartisan legislators. This is a work product of a working group that Senator Vanderveer and I served on. And I would appreciate members. It's an important piece of legislation, and I'm offering it to Senator Moore's bill here, hoping that we can get this enacted this year.
Any further discussion on the Scheid, Senator Scheid A50 amendment? Seeing no further discussion on the A50 amendment, all those in favor of the A50 amendment signify by saying aye. Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Any further discussion on House File 3420, Senator Latz?
Mr. Chairman, I have the A1 amendment.
Is Erickson Secretary will report the A1 amendment.
Okay, so
Senator Latz, is it under another name?
You can come out of general orders when you're done, but then hold the fort till I get up here.
I'm not sure. I've got all my copies here. Yes, it might be under Senator Moore's name.
Senator Latz moves to amend House File number 3420 as follows. Page 1, after line 6, insert. This is the A1 Latz amendment.
Senator Latz on the A1 amendment.
Mr. Chairman, this amendment actually contains the content of two bills. Senator Betzold has a provision in here as well. The amendment that's my portion of it actually is a transfer on death deed bill that we have previously passed. We'd ask for your support. This is where it establishes in Minnesota a transfer on death deed to make it easier for estate planning for people who are intending to convey property upon their death to do so while retaining control over the disposition of the property while they're still alive. It also contains some other miscellaneous provisions, all of these brought forth by the Real Property Section of the Minnesota State Bar Association. It includes some provisions relating to corporate authority to execute real estate documents, to provide for some adjustments on the common law doctrine of practical location of boundaries applying to registered land, and authorizes some petitions to be filed to get judicial determination of common boundaries when registered and unregistered land abut each other. And I would like to yield to Senator Betzold for his portion of the amendment.
The senator from Anoka, Senator Betzold.
From Anoka County, not from the city of Anoka. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Article 4 of this amendment is actually identical to number 8 on General Order Senate File 3085, which was a bill that was approved by the Judiciary Committee and has been waiting action as a separate bill, but it has been vetted through the Bar Association and by the Judiciary Committee. And this deals with some changes to the probate court code. In section, and real property, by the way, in section 1, as a response to an Internal Revenue Service case where we had the unusual situation, a husband and wife had trust wills, they divorced, the husband remarried and he died, but his second wife got virtually nothing because the Internal Revenue Service disallowed the trust that he created during his first marriage, and so the legal presumption was to disallow the later wife. So this actually assumes that you want to provide for your later spouse, which is what most people would want to do. That was what was wanted here. This changed that presumption to what I think what most people would like to do. Section 2 provides a homestead classification for trusts. Section 3 deals with more notice to the Department of Human Services on estate claims, and the last section requires a personal representative to do a bit of more diligent search for creditors. As I say, this is a bill that is on general orders right now. As heard, Judiciary Committee had no opposition in the committee. I stand for any questions on that article.
Any further discussion on the LATS A1 amendment? Seeing no further discussion, all members in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Any further discussion on House File 3420? No, seeing no further discussion, Senator Mua has moved that when this committee do arise, that House File 3420 be recommended to pass. All members in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Next on general orders is number 24, House File 3699, Senator Rest. Senator Rest in the chamber.
In the mayor's office?
Well, but Larry's downstairs.
Oh, yeah,
here
she is.
She's in the office.
Your bill is up. Time is up. Showtime.
The senator from Hennepin County, Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I need to know the order in which I need to make motions because I want to strike the Rule 45. Do I make the motion about the committee first?
Senator Rest, when this committee do arise, that would be the
motion. Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that House File 3699 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest, on House File 3699.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the amendment made to House File Number 3699 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted May 5, 2008, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
Okay.
The effect of which
Senator
would be
Rest,
to
adopt
the House language to the House file.
Senator Rest, if you could just explain a little bit what you're doing here to the members, for the members.
Happy to do that, Mr. Chairman. House File 3699, the companion of which is Senate File 3373, deals with election law and in particular dealing with recounts. After the bill left the Senate, I continued to work with the House Chief Author on a number of other provisions dealing with recounts and also for townships and their the difficulties that they continue to have with regard to providing for people with disabilities to be able to access the ballot. And this is also another bill where we then put provisions together from a couple of bills, and they got put on in the House, and that is what is then in the House language, and the Senate has seen most of that language before anyway, just not all together. So the simplest thing to do was to take the House language and to strike the Rule 45. So the bill then would deal with recounts, the town exemptions, disabled voters, and some technical corrections that have been made through discussions with election administrators.
On the motion to strike Rule 45, all those
that the report pursuant to Rule 45 be stricken.
All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A4 amendment.
The Secretary will report the A4 amendment.
Senator Rest moves to amend House File Number 3699 as follows. Page 1, after line 8, insert. This is the Rest A4 amendment.
Senator Rest on
thank you,
the A4 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The A4 amendment brings into this bill also a correction to a bill that has already passed with regard to absentee ballots and signed by the governor. There was a clarification that needed to be made about whether you could use a state write-in ballot, absentee ballot, or the federal one. This has already been passed, this provision, in the state government policy bill. We thought it was more appropriate to have it in an election bill rather than there, and so it was removed from that conference committee report. The same thing is true with the language starting on line 126, which is the permission for the Secretary of State to transfer their HAVA funds. This is not a new appropriation. The appropriation is already there. It is just allowing them to do that for the purpose of administering the federal HAVA law. The additional changes that are made then to the bill once again reflects further streamlining of the recount provisions and are in the amendment from lines 111 to 124. Mr. Chairman, I would appreciate support.
Any further discussion on the A4 amendment? Seeing no further discussion on the A4 amendment, all those members in favor of the A4 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Any further discussion on House File 3699 as amended? Seeing no further discussion, Senator Rest has moved that when this committee do arise, that House File 3699 as amended be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Senator Betzold.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the committee as of the whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
Aye.
On that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. And Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, it's my understanding we don't have any work right now at the desk that we can take up. So Senator Pogemiller has asked that we take a recess to the call of the chair. I don't know how long it would be, but apparently we don't have anything at the desk to do right now, so we'll have to just stay tuned and find out what's going to be happening for the rest of the day. So I'll stand for any announcements anybody has to have before we take a recess. If none, Mr. President, I move that the Senate be in recess to the call of the chair.
On that motion, everybody signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Senate is now in recess.
The Honorable James Metzen, President of the Senate. Dear Senator Metzen, I have vetoed and am returning Senate File 3132 relating to financial and medical debt information. I support efforts to prevent.
Senator Porgemiller.
President, I move that Senate File 3132, was it?
3132, that's correct. So
that Senate File 3132 and the veto message thereon be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And the Honorable Senator James Metzen, President of the Senate. Dear President Metzen, I have vetoed and am returning Senate File 543, a legislative resolution memorializing Congress to support the Employee Free Choice Act.
Senator Porgemiller.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 543 and the veto message thereon be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Continuing on messages.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith returned, Senate File 3058 and 3576, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
What do you got there?
Next message is on Senate File 3486, Senator Pretner Solon. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments of concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 3486, a bill for an act relating to human services, modifying Medicare special needs plan. Senate File 3486 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File number 3486 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On the Pretner Solon motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Next message is on Senate File 2651, Senator Chaudhry. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments of concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2651, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, modifying provisions for sale of surplus state land. Senate File 2651 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2651, and that a conference committee of five members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Continuing on, messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on the following Senate files and repassed said bills in accordance with the report of the committees so adopted. Senate file numbers 2379, 2909, 3672, 3001, 3303, 3235, 3669, 3563, and 3492. These Senate files are herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Continuing on messages.
Next message is on House File 3494 in the Conference Committee Report, Senator Ress. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File 3494 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted. House File 3494, a bill for an act relating to employment. House File 3494 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Rest.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 3494 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay, Senator Rest, a description of the bill,
yes,
and what amendments were added on or taken off.
Mr. President, I'm tempted to say this is a bill with a bunch of things in it that only a few people care about, so why not vote for it?
That's been done before.
That's after this evening's entertainment. But this is the state government policy omnibus bill conference committee report. It does have the Minnesota milestones language in it that we accepted a number of suggestions from the governor's office on. It has the state land sale procedures from Senator Youngbauer. It has the OET reporting requirements. It has the underlying bill, the blood donation bill. It has Senator Rummel's provision dealing with charitable organizations, financial statements requirements, and it has two gambling provisions, a definition of a gambling device, and the authorization of medications for horse racing, bringing the standards into sync with modern medicine.
Further discussion on House File 3494. Senator Rest renews her motion that the Conference Committee report on House File 3494 be now adopted. Senator Senja.
Senator, yes. Rest, yes.
She will yield. Senator
I was
Senja.
At the party, too. Senator Rest, would you yield for a question?
She will yield.
Senator Rest, I'm just catching up quickly. On this, on the blood donation issue, is it time off with pay? And was that for both private sector and public sector employees?
Mr. President, no, it's just for state employees that are non-MNSCU. And at the beginning, we had some issues with the Department of Employee Relations. By the time the bill was heard in the House, the Department of Employee Relations spoke in support of it, of the version that is now in the conference committee.
Senator Senja.
Senator Rest? Yes. I only had one glass of wine.
Not my fault.
Should have had two.
Senator Rest, what is Minnesota Milestones?
Mr. President, I will defer to Senator Clark.
Senator Senja, Mr. President. Senator Senja, Minnesota Milestones, as you may recall, is the provision that originally started under Governor Carlson after 30 to 40 visits around the state where many Minnesotans came together to develop common ground for the future of our state. It is something that Minnesota Planning had taken on, and it tries to incorporate results-based budgeting into the process. We've kind of backslid a bit, and this is a bipartisan effort to be moving forward to figuring out ways that we can move forward together as a state, take away some of the polarization, and Senator Michelle and I have been working on this together. If you have any further questions, you might want to ask him. Thank you.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Third reading.
House File 3494, a bill for an act relating to state government, incorporating Minnesota milestones, goals, and indicators in budget preparation, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. Third reading. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes, 4 nays, bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I think I'd like to put a call on for the proceedings through the evening here.
All right.
So
for the duration of the evening, I guess. Senate's under call.
Senator, Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
Is that for the rest of the evening or? Yeah. Okay. Senate's under call.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that Senate File 3166 be taken from the table. This is the Torres Ray bill from earlier today.
Okay, on that motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Torres Ray.
Sorry, Mr. President, my microphone is not working again.
Okay. Senator. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report of Senate File 3166 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Senator Wergen.
Mr. President, I believe I have a subsequent motion that remains alive on the floor, and at this point I withdraw my motion to send the bill back to committee, back to conference committee.
Okay, Senator Torres Ray, your motion is now before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Do you want me to explain? Do members have any questions? I would be happy to explain the bill again.
I think she explained it earlier. So, Senator Torres Ray renews her motion that the conference committee report and Senate File 3166 be now adopted. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 3166, a bill for an act relating to human services, amending child welfare and licensing provisions, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. kind of like in a hurry, you know?
Mr. President.
Senator Porter-Miller.
I move those not voting be excused from voting. I'd withdraw my motion.
I didn't hear it. Right? Let's see. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary, close the roll. There being 41 ayes, 17 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to.
Next order of business is a conference committee report on Senate File 875, Senator Anderson bill.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate File 875 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Senator Anderson, an explanation of the bill and what amendments were added on or subtracted from the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Members, this bill is the minimum wage increase, and it's been a while since the Senate has discussed this, so I'll just refresh your memory that back on April 23rd of last year, 2007, the Senate passed an increase in the minimum wage, and the Senate position was to raise it in two steps to $6.75 an hour the first year, and then $7.75 the second year for large employers. For small employers, $5.75 the first year and $6.75 the second year. The Senate eliminated the training wage and indexed the minimum wage to inflation. The House just took the bill up this year, but it's the same bill. So we finally went to conference committee a year later, and the House bill was similar to the Senate bill, but it did have a higher rate. The House bill for large employers was $6.90 the first year and $7.90 the second year, 15 cents an hour higher than the Senate wage for large employers. And the House did include the training wage, but they raised it to $5.25 an hour. And they also indexed the minimum wage to inflation. So we went to conference committee this week and heard some testimony from Commissioner Swigum on behalf of the governor's office. And he testified that the governor did want to sign a minimum wage increase. And we had some good discussion about what it would take to get the governor's signature and support on a bill. And the governor reiterated his concern about tipped employees and that he wanted a tip penalty in Minnesota law, but we haven't had a sub-minimum wage for tipped employees in Minnesota, at least in my memory ever. Maybe before I was elected we did, but not for many, many years. And that's something that was very difficult for us to consider as it was not in the House or Senate position. The governor was also very concerned about indexing the bill to inflation and would have preferred a little bit lower number. So what we tried to do was find a compromise that was somewhere between the House, Senate, and the governor. And we did make compromises in all of the areas. We did agree to eliminate the inflation index on the minimum wage, but we also said we're not going to change the tipped employee status. So that was kind of a quid pro quo for those two items. The Senate, as I mentioned, had repealed the training wage, and that's for young people in their first 90 days, so kind of for the summer job. And we'd eliminated it. The House had not. And so what we did was come up with a compromise on that. We did reinstate the training wage, but we made it for those under age 18, so it would truly be for teenagers getting summer jobs. And we did put some increases in there for the training wage. The first year would be $5.35 an hour. The second year, $6.35 an hour. Let me make sure I have those numbers correct. And the House, because the Senate passed our bill last year, our bill would have started taking effect in 2007, and the second step would have been this year. So we put it off a year, and so the first step under the bill would be under what the House dates were, so that the first increase would take place this July, and the second step would take place in July 2009. Members, that's the bill. It's a pretty simple bill to explain and understand, and I think we all understand why working Minnesotans are very concerned about being able to get up and go to work and make enough money to be able to support themselves and their families, and that's why it's an important bill to pass. I would urge members to support the conference committee report.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I voted for the minimum wage the last time we took it up. But that was a different time in our economy. And today we're looking at a different situation where employers have lost control over a lot of other factors in their business that are causing their costs to go up right now as well, especially their energy costs, their food costs if they're in the restaurant business. There's a lot of things impacting businesses right now that they have very little control over. The last time when I voted for it, the times were good and I felt businesses were making a profit and workers deserved to share in that profit. And so I thought it was a good time to raise the minimum wage. But right now, I think businesses are hurting too. There is not nearly the profit that there was in the past. And I think we're seeing that as some of our tax returns come in and our revenues have dropped. Our revenues have dropped because their revenues have dropped. And so when their revenues drop and they're because their expenses are increasing, they have two choices if we force them to increase their wages. Either they raise their prices or they cut workers, because those are something that they have some control over, because there's a lot of things that businesses do not have control over. And in this economy, both of those results end up falling on the very people that we say we are trying to help with an increase in the minimum wage. The people who will likely lose their jobs are the low-paid workers, and the people who will likely be hardest hit by increases in prices are the low-wage workers. And so it's a good idea when there's a good economy, but right now that just isn't the case, and I think that we will have a negative impact on our businesses, on our workers, and on our consumers. And it is just the wrong time to do it.
Further discussion on Senate File 875. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the author yield?
She will yield. Senator Michelle.
Senator Anderson, I just want to be clear on the numbers this evening. We're still in the evening. If this language was to pass, are we at the federal minimum wage or are we above it? And what would be the difference numerically if we are above it?
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Michelle. As you know, the federal minimum wage is going to rise this July and next year, and ultimately by the time this bill reaches the final step of the increase in 2009, for a large business, we would be 50 cents above the federal minimum wage. For a small business, it depends whether they're covered by the federal or the state minimum wage, and that sort of varies according to size and other whether it's a tipped employee and various other conditions.
Senator Michel.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Mr. President, the small business community is, if they have any energy left, they are waving a white flag. Please, do no more. Minnesota legislature, please, wave the flag. Members, we are in a recession. These small businesses have to digest this high price of oil and gas now. Last year, we put in place the smoking ban. I supported that, but boy, that's definitely had an impact on small business. The latest figures I saw is that a minimum wage increase affects 2% of employees. 2%. Now, I know Senator Anderson has a drive and an ambition to raise people to a living wage. This involves such a small group of employees. And as Senator Roebling pointed out, economists will tell you this is going to hurt the people you are trying to help. So members, we had a good discussion yesterday about how Minnesota, it costs so much more to do business here. Our tax rates, our income tax rates, our corporate tax rates. And now we are going to raise the cost of doing business again. Now, this is probably heading for what Senator Senjum calls veto land. But members, we could choose to stop it right now. We could choose to stop it. So members, I urge a red vote.
Further discussion on Senate File 875. Seeing none, Senator Anderson renews her motion that the conference committee report on Senate File 875 be now adopted. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 875, a bill for an act relating to employment, increasing and indexing the minimum wage.
Secretary will take the roll on the bill. Secretary will clear the board. Before that, the vote, Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, I just felt compelled that we need to talk about this. This, for goodness sakes, this is a serious matter. And I think Senator Michel has pointed out, and I asked myself, what are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to our businesses? I mean, they were here a couple of weeks ago. I had a business in Rochester, one of the better restaurants, that said, "We're going to go out of business if you do this to us." And I don't think that's unusual across the state of Minnesota. This is a problem bill, and we better just recognize that, face up to it, and do what's right. And that is not to vote this bill forward. It's a dead serious issue, and we better not be taking it lightly, because, as again has been pointed out, these are not good times. Fuel prices are high. Fuel prices add a lot, certainly, to restaurant costs. People are on the edge. And I just think that we need to think long and hard about this vote. I don't think it's a partisan vote at all. I think it's a vote for sustaining business in Minnesota. And if we allow this vote to go forward, I think this will seriously affect our economic future in the near term. So, again, thank you so much. And again, I just wanted to say that this is a very important bill.
Senator Senjum, I want to apologize if I was a little quick. I think you were probably on the other side of the room. So, Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum was talking about what are we going to do to the businesses with this terrible bill that Senator Anderson has. But members, I think we need to think about what are we going to do about the workers. Even going to $6.75 an hour, that's $270 a week before taxes, $1,080 a month before taxes. The average price of an apartment in Minneapolis is $800 a month. That's before utilities, food, car, gasoline at $3.65 a gallon.
Yeah, he was very polite, you know.
I know that there are folks who are really worried about protecting the businesses. I'm worried about protecting the workers. Please vote yes.
Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Higgins, I'm just as worried as you are about protecting the workers. But that's not what we're doing in this bill. You see, we have a problem. Every time we raise the minimum wage, the businesses have to lay off one more worker. So here's what's going to happen with this bill along with some of the other ones that we did. And yes, I like a smoke-free environment in spite of the fact that I voted against that bill. But in rural Minnesota, that has put businesses in a position where they've already closed their doors. And the businesses that are left can't take one more strike against them. And so, Senator Higgins, what's going to happen to the workers? These small businesses are going to have to lay off one more person, and you're going to have another unemployed person in Minnesota at a time when we absolutely cannot afford to have another unemployed person in Minnesota. And so, members, if you want to serve the workers, this is not the time to raise the minimum wage, especially when it's being considered on the federal level, and we'll see some changes there. Have some sympathy for the workers and at least keep them employed.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Will Senator Michelle yield for a question?
He will yield. Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Michelle, you had said that this only affects 2% of the workers out there. Is that in a particular industry that we're looking at, or can you focus on, you tell me a little bit more specifically who it's going to be affecting?
Senator Michelle.
Actually, thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dahl, I just had some nice helpful numbers from Senator Bonhoff behind you, literally a breakdown by Senate district. So the percentage of how many employees per district, and it was a little over 2%, I think, in the western suburbs. So who would that be? What kind of industry would those 2% be in? I can only speculate, Senator Dahl. Small business, hospitality, restaurants, that's where I'd start. Those are the people that I've heard the most from, and I'm sure you've heard from some of the very same people, recalling the recent visit from the Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, the restaurants and hotels in our area. So they've been very strong and very worried about this bill.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, perhaps a question for the author, Senator Anderson.
Sure. She will answer your question.
Senator Anderson, do you have any idea what the average hourly wages might be, and how would I define this? An hourly wage of person on what we call MFIP, MIMFAP. Do you know? I happen to know it for Olmsted County. I was wondering if there's a statewide average that you might be aware of.
Senator Berglund, do you know?
Mr. President and Senator Senchum, I heard you say something about MFIP, but I didn't hear what it was. I'm sorry. If you could repeat it, please.
Senator Senchum.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Berglund. I'm just inquiring whether or not, and I'm probably catching you off guard, but I happen to have information here on what the average wage in Olmsted County is for people on the MFIP program. Is there a statewide average that we might know about?
Oh, the last time I looked, Berglund. It was like in the neighborhood of, you mean when they leave MFIP? Because that's what we always look at. What's the wage when they leave MFIP? It's about eight something an hour.
Okay, Senator President, Senator Burbank. Now, help me if it's 8 hours there, and we're dealing with a minimum wage, which is going to take us up to $7.75. Is not the market taking care of this? I'm just trying to wonder why we need a legislative mandate if, in fact, we have wages, at least at the lower end, that are around the $8 range.
Mr. President.
Senator Berglund.
Senator Senchum, what you're forgetting is that when people get to, you know, 8-something an hour and leave MFIP, they have had their wage supplemented by the MFIP program until they reach that level. So, you know, there's people working on MFIP for the minimum wage, 20 hours a week, and they get additional money through the MFIP program to keep their family afloat because they wouldn't be able to survive otherwise. When people are leaving MFIP, we have, through that program, helped them to have enough support so that they are employed at a high enough wage, enough hours, so that when they leave the program, we don't believe that they need any more support from the state. So, you know, raising the minimum wage would have the impact of helping people who are on the MFIP program actually leave it sooner.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. Well, again, we've had discussion on here, and I think we ought to have more discussion because this is really an important issue. But I think it's been said we raised this so far, and there is a tipping point, and that tipping point is going to affect a lot of small businesses out there. I think we've all heard it loud and clear, and we better just be knowing what we're doing. We better be sure that in these tough times that if we're going to tiff more small businesses off the cliff, why, that's not going to be good for Minnesota's economy. So, again, as you consider this vote, think about back home. Think about those small businesses. Think about those people that you know that run these small businesses. Think about their future. Think about the future of their employees, and hopefully do the right thing and vote no on this particular
amendment. Further discussions. Secretary will take the roll on the bill. Senate's under call. Senators are to vote. The Senate's under call. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Being 40 ayes and 18 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Brief recess for the purposes of appointing conference committees.
On the motion for a brief recess, all those agree, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motions are read. Senate will come to order. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, are there privileged reports at the desk?
There are privileged reports at the desk.
Senator Pogermiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on Senate File 3486, Senators Prettner, Solon, Marty, and Wergen. On Senate File 2651, Senators Chaudhry, Anderson, Saxhog, Fredrickson, and Dill. And on Senate File 2368, Senator Cohen replaces Senator Laurie. Senator Pogemiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Who's up, Cohen?
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Any other work at the desk right at this moment? Okay.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that we recess to the call of the chair. Members will be about 10 or 15 minutes, I believe.
Okay, on the Pogemiller motion to recess to the call of the chair, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess. Pogemiller.
Mr. President, under order of motions, business of motions, resolutions, I'd like to take up a few confirmations.
Senator Pogemiller, which ones did you wish to start with?
Mr. President, I would yield to Senator Metzen for the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals.
Senator Metzen.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the Committee on Business, Industry, and Jobs reported April 1st, 2008 pertaining to appointments be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Metzen.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Metzen.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Business, Industry, and Jobs reported April 1st, 2008, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to confirm the appointment to the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals, Thomas L. Johnson.
Senator Metzen.
Mr. President, members, Judge Johnson was appointed to the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals in 1992, and Mr. Johnson has been the chief judge of the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals since 2002. Johnson is a member and past president of the Hennepin County Bar Foundation and served on the directors of the National Conference of Bar Foundation, and he's done a lot of civic an area with the Hockey Association and other associations, and I move for his appointment to the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals as a judge.
Is there discussion on the motion? Is there discussion? Seeing none, Senator Metzen moves that the Senate do now consent and confirm the appointment of Thomas L. Johnson to the Workers' Compensation Court of Appeals. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the appointment is confirmed. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I would yield to Senator Rest for the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board.
Senator Rest.
Mr. President, I move that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported May 1st, 2008, pertaining to appointments, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Rest.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Rest.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with a report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported May 1st, 2008, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, Hilda Betterman of Douglas County, effective January 14th, 2008, for a term expiring on January 2nd, 2012, and Felicia Boyd of Dakota County, Lakeville, effective January 14th, 2008, for a term expiring on January 2nd, 2012.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Rest. Do you have any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Rest moves that the Senate confirm the appointments of A. Hilda Betterman and Felicia Boyd to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The appointments are confirmed. Senator Polgemiller.
Mr. President, I would yield to Senator Wieger to do the Board of Teaching. It looks like five appointments for the Board of Teaching. Board of Purpich Center for the Arts, looks like four people. And the Board of School Administrators, looks like four people. I'd yield to Senator Wieger.
Senator Wieger.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move that the report from the Committee on Education, reported May 7, 2008, pertaining to appointments, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported May 7, 2008, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent and confirm the appointment of to the Board of Teaching the following persons: Patricia DeJarlis from Blaine, Anita Otten from Eden Prairie, Louise Wilson, Arden Hills, Jim Bartholomew from Edina, and Janet Schutz from Medina.
Senator Wieger, only DeJarlis, Otten, and Wilson were from the report that we took from the table. So those are the only ones we have before us at the moment.
Okay. Mr. President, there is for the same board on the next report, but we can take them in separate.
That's a separate report. We took one report from the table only pertaining to DeJarlis, Otten, and Wilson. Those are the only ones we can consider now. We can consider the next in the next motion. Senator Wieger, on those three.
Stand for questions.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Wieger renews his motion that the Senate confirm the appointments of Patricia DeJarlis, Anita Otten, and Louise Wilson to the Board of Teaching. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. The appointments are confirmed. Senator Wieger.
Mr. President, I have two additional recommendations to the Board of Teaching. First, I move that the report from the Committee on Education, reported May 7, 2008, pertaining to appointments, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported May 7, 2008, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent and confirm the appointment of to the Board of Teaching Jim Bartholomew, Edina, and Janet Schutz, Medina.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Wieger.
These are two qualified individuals that have been screened. Stand for questions.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, Senator Wieger, Mr. President,
real quick question. Senator Wieger, do you know how many teachers are left on the Board of Teaching? Because I don't believe either of these, are any of these appointments people who have been teachers?
Senator Wieger.
Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, there are teachers on the board and on the first list somewhere. I will have to get their resumes, but there are teachers and with excellent backgrounds.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
And Senator Wieger, I know Mr. Bartholomew, and he's a lobbyist. And I'm just, did the committee consider that in their thinking?
Senator Wieger.
Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, we do know Mr. Bartholomew and his role as a lobbyist, but it was weighed as well as other items that he brings to the table. He was presented the same questions that, in fact, we had two hearings on the Board of Teaching, and he remains one of the recommendations.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Wieger renews his motion that the appointments of Jim Bartholomew and Janet Schutz be confirmed to the Board of Teaching. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. The appointments are confirmed. Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the report from the Committee on Education, reported May 7, 2008, pertaining to appointments, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported May 7, 2008, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of to the board of the Purpose Center for Arts Education the following persons: Bari Amadio from Rochester, Dennis Biagini, Plymouth, Margaret De Blasio, St. Paul, and Dorothy Somala from Dilworth.
Discussion, Senator Wieger.
Yes, Mr. President, we did not have the privilege of meeting these recommended candidates, but we did give two different opportunities. We take the process very seriously, as we had two hearings for Board of Teaching. That said, we did some further background, and some of the members of the committee did know these persons, and based on that review, we deemed them qualified.
The discussion on the motion. Seeing none, Senator Wieger renews his motion that the appointments of Bari Amadio, Denise Biagini, Margaret De Blasio, and Dorothy Suomola be confirmed to the board of the Purpich Center for the Arts Education. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. The appointments are confirmed. Senator Wieger.
Thank you. I move that the report from the Committee on Education, reported May 7, 2008, pertaining to appointments, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
I move that the foregoing report now be adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported May 7, 2008, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment to the Board of School Administrators the following persons: Bruce Kramer from Minneapolis, Mary McBee, Bloomington, Diane Rauschenfels, Duluth, and Daniel Sullivan from Burnsville.
Discussion, Senator Wieger.
We did have a chance to do interviews with the group and find them to be qualified.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Wieger renews his motion that the appointments of Bruce Kramer, Mary McBee, Diane Rochefels, and Daniel Sullivan be confirmed to the Board of School Administrators. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. The appointments are confirmed. Senator Polgemiller.
Mr. President, is there any other work at the desk?
We are waiting for the addendum. It should be up soon.
Members, while we're waiting for the addendum, I believe we're done for the evening. We are, I think Senator Senjum and I and a few others are going to stay around. There's a conference committee or two that we will appoint if the House processes those. But that could be quite a while. If the members would like to stay around, you certainly could. I think members, we'll come back Monday at 11, I guess. Okay, member, Mr. President.
Yeah. Yes, Senator Polgemiller, perhaps if you just want to take a recess, we can take up the addendum when it arrives. I mean, there's...
We could do the addendum later on, correct?
Yes, that's what I mean.
So, members, we will recess now to the call of the chair. I think we'll come back Monday at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. And I just want to give members a bit of a heads up. We have, by and large, processed all the omnibus bills. I believe other than the House sent the omnibus this year's omnibus transportation bill back to conference, so that one we have not processed. But other than that, I believe we've processed the omnibus bills. So if you have a conference committee out there, Senator Berg, the health care reform bill is not processed yet, and then there are health care policy bill that's not processed. So if you have a conference committee out there, you should really work tomorrow to get that done. We are continuing our negotiations with the executive branch, but we are on a timeline with the House where we are going to process the work starting Monday. And we, there's a kind of an understanding that we are not going to run this up to the 19th. We're going to try to get an agreement with the executive branch, and hopefully that will happen this weekend. And if it does not, I think the intent would be to process some budget bills and try to bring the session to a conclusion. We are optimistic, very optimistic. We met for an hour with the governor this morning. The tax committee people have been meeting with the executive agency. Senator Cohen and others have been meeting with the executive. So there's a lot going on there. And so we're hopeful and optimistic that we'll be able to put together a series of items there that will allow us to process the work very quickly next week. And that would be our intent. Again, we don't want to run this up to the end. And I think once the decisions are made, we're going to process things pretty quickly. And I presume that would be a deficit. Again, I'm just giving you a sense. I'm not positive if these are the bills. But a deficit reduction bill, that would be 1812, a tax bill, perhaps another bonding bill, health care reform bill, but by and large, those are going to be conference committee reports. And so there's some other odds and ends. We have a couple constitutional amendments that were considered by the Rules Committee today. And then, of course, the ever-popular Senator Pogemiller redistricting bill perhaps would be considered next week. But other than that, so I just try to give members a heads up, and I don't anticipate long floor sessions other than waiting for the House to process if their House file conference committee reports. So.
Senator Sanjum.
Mr. President, would Senator Pogemiller yield?
He will yield.
Senator Pogemiller, maybe a... Go ahead. Maybe not a fair question without Senator Murphy in the room, but a couple of weeks ago, the governor did appoint a new commissioner of transportation. There were suggestions in the media and so on and so forth that... Okay, we've got an engineer, we've got a person that I think in the eyes of the majority is qualified and got lots of background, and there were comments along the way that we're going to have a prompt confirmation of that. Has the majority caucus talked at all about that? I guess the ultimate question, are we going to in fact maybe be confirming this individual before we leave?
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President. The majority caucus has not talked about it. The appointment has not actually been received by the Senate yet. The governor has not processed the paperwork. So, and I have not talked to Senator Murphy, and the caucus has not talked about it. So, don't know.
Senator Pogemiller, we do have the addendum. Without objection, we'll revert to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. We have an addendum. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports in the addendum or on the addendum, is it in or on? On the addendum be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. Senate files 3871, 2720, 3793 are given at second reading. Seventh order of business, second reading of House bills, House file 3034 and 995 are giving its second reading. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I just want to, I've mentioned this in the majority caucus, that the redistricting bill that I have, the House is not going to process it this year. And what I'm simply trying to do is accommodate that group of very significant Minnesotans, Vice President Mondale, Governor Carlson, Senator Moe, Secretary Groh, they've asked if the Senate would consider it this year to kind of have the discussion alive. That is not a partisan issue, and I would like to take it up, but I'm telling you straight up, the House is not going to take it up this year, and I would not take it up next week if we didn't have the time. But my guess is we're going to have the time, so... Unless I get a rush of members who just say, please don't take that up. But I think it would be a good discussion, and hopefully members would think it was a good idea. Mr. President.
Without objection, the following members will be excused from parts of the day's session. Senator Stump all day, Senator Vanderveer from 11 o'clock to 11:45 a.m., Senator Bach from noon until 12:45 p.m., Senator Dill, Foley, Johnson, Hahn, Ortman, and Tomasoni at 9:40 p.m., Senator Sharon from 10:35 to 11:20 p.m., Senator Prettner-Sullen, from 11:05 to 11:15 p.m. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, we're going to change it to 11 a.m. on Monday, back to 11 a.m. on Monday. Apparently, Senator Metzen has a hearing at 10 a.m. So I'm just going to recess now for a skeleton crew, but the members can feel free to go. Announcements, Mr. President?
Senator Sanjum.
Mr. President and Senate Republican members, I'm not sure we know what the bills are right now, but we will in due time. So the Republican caucus will do, as we call, bill review at about, let's say, 10:15 up in room 330 on Monday. Okay. Mr. President, we've been informed that perhaps we can recess after convening and review those bills, so not necessary to come in early. So 11 o'clock, right?
I believe that we'll be recessing, but then when the Senate adjourns, it will adjourn until, I believe, 11 o'clock on Monday. So, but right now we'll be in recess. Senator Pogamiller renews his motion that the Senate... Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, can I make an announcement before we vote on recessing? I just want to make an announcement for my division members. If you haven't seen the notice, the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division does have a hearing scheduled tomorrow morning at 9:30, a joint meeting with the House in the basement room of the State Office Building. It's a joint hearing with the House on some DNR issues.
Other announcements of Senate interest? Seeing none, Senator Pogamiller renews his motion that the Senate stand in recess. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The Senate is in recess. Okay. Reverting to the third order of Senator Pogamiller. Okay.
You better call yourself in.
I did call us to order.
Tape wasn't on.
The Senate will come to order. Reverting, without objection, reverting third order of business, messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 3 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file, 3486, a bill for enacting human services. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Representatives Madore, Rukavina, and Gunther. Senate file 3486 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. And, Mr. President, pursuant to Joint Rule 3.02A, the Conference Committee on House File Number 6 was discharged after adjournment on May 21, 2007, and the bill was laid on the table. House File 6, a bill for enacting education, providing for early childhood, family, adult, and pre-kindergarten through grade 12 education. House File 6 has been taken from the table and new conferees have been appointed. Representatives Greilings, Slawick, Davney, Brown, and Heidgerken have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File 6 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, on behalf of Senator Stumpf, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File Number 6, and that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
I'd request a brief recess for the purposes of appointing a conference committee.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. The Senate is in recess.
Mr. President.
The Senate will come to order. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
Surprisingly enough, there is a privilege report at the desk. The Secretary will... No, there isn't. The Secretary will report the privilege report.
Senator Pogamiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on House File Number 6, Senators Stumpf, Saltzman, Rummel, Wieger, and Torres-Ray. Senator Pogamiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President, a recess to the call of the chair, please.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Mr. President.
The Senate will come to order. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President.
They're reverting to the third order of business, messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files 3380, House file 3643, and House file 4223, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. Okay.
House File 3380, a bill for enacting to human services, revising requirements for county-based purchasing for state health care programs.
Referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration for comparison with Senate File 3031, now on general orders.
House File 3643, a bill for enacting to environment, modifying licensing requirements for individual sewage treatment system professionals.
Referred to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources.
And House File 4223, a bill for enacting the local government, establishing the Business Energy Accountability Act, etc.
Refer to the Committee on Rules Administration for comparison with Senate File 3857, and now on general orders. The bills have been given their first reading. Senator Pogamiller, that is it.
Mr. President, thank you. I move that the Senate adjourn till Monday, May 12th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned.